This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
So we're talking to Molly Flora from the Melbourne Zoo, and today we're talking about the red panda. Thank you very much for your time today, Molly.
Absolutely.
Now tell me a little bit about the red panda.
Well, they are this gorgeous little creature from Nepal. They actually are found in China and Myanmar, western Nepal, so up in the Himalayas. They're just this beautiful, almost cat-like creature, although they are not related to cats or dogs or bears. They are, in fact, their own little animal.
Because they look very different to the panda bears that we're used to seeing, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the word panda actually means bamboo eating. But red pandas got their name about 50 years before giant pandas got their name.
Oh, okay. But the thing they have in common is that they both eat bamboo.
That is it.
Now,
they rely heavily on the bamboo species that they find where they're living.
And I believe, though, both the giant panda and the red panda can't digest cellulose. So they have to eat bucket loads of bamboo. Is that right?
That is correct. They depend heavily on just that bamboo. Now, red pandas will also eat some insects and some fruit that they find in the warmer times of the years where those products will be around. But they do rely heavily on bamboo, and they have to eat bucket loads of it in order to get the nutrients that they need out of it.
I've also been reading that they have a bit of a strange ritual that they get up to when they wake up around dawn. Is that right?
That would be a good question.
Apparently, part of their grooming, they also massage themselves.
Oh, they do. They actually, they'll put their back up against the tree, and they'll use their hands, and they really kind of rub their sides, and they rub their back. I guess kind of a way of us waking up and doing a stretch in the morning. It would be the same for the red pandas. They are excellent climbers, so I guess you need to be fit and well-limber in order to do what they're doing.
And they spend, how much of their time do they spend in the trees?
Oh, I would say about 90% of their time is in the trees. They'll come down. What they're eating is the bamboo undergrowth, so that'll come up the trees a little ways. They'll just go down and eat some of the bamboo that they find, but they do spend a majority of their time, as we notice with our pandas here at the zoo, most of it is up in the trees.
They said they're kind of like cats in their appearance. Do they have do you find the ones that you have at the zoo have personalities?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, another name that they're called is the fire cat, because they do have kind of a cat-like personality, and of course they are that gorgeous red color. But we have two here. We have Yoda and we have Fasang, and they very much have their own personalities, which is really fun to see.
And are they a breeding pair?
They are not a breeding pair. They are actually two boys.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, in the wild, how many are left in the wild?
It's really hard to get a number. Now, estimates are about 2,500, unfortunately, only left in the wild. But these guys are incredibly elusive, very hard to find. But that's about the best guess that they have, is about 2,500.
And what's contributing to there being such low numbers?
Oh, there's quite a bit contributing to that fact. Habitat destruction, unfortunately, is one of the main ones. These guys do require a large chunk of land. As I've said, they eat mostly bamboo, so they need to really spread out in order to eat the large amount of bamboo that they have. And when habitat is being destructed, it kind of fragments where they're living, so they're having to cross areas that they normally wouldn't have to cross in order to get the food that they need. Also, just by agricultural practices over in Asia, unfortunately, land is being cleared, and it's land that these pandas need.
And are there also natural predators as well?
There are some natural predators, and unfortunately, I don't know those off the top of my head.
That's all right. Not a problem at all. Now, so you've got the two boys at the zoo. Obviously, you're not using them for breeding?
We're not currently using our two males for breeding, but they have been in a breeding program in the past. We've had some females that have come through. We've produced some offspring, and then those females and those offspring have gone to other zoos in Australia to contribute to their breeding program.
Throughout Australia, is there much of a breeding program for red pandas?
There is a breeding program. There are quite a few zoos throughout Australia that hold red pandas, and there will be more in the near future. So we all get together. We have what's called SSP, or Species Survival Program. So we know exactly what animals are out there, their age, whether they've bred or not, how well represented they are throughout Australia.
Okay. And either in Australia or anywhere in the world, are we releasing red pandas? Are we at the stage where we can release red pandas back into the wild that are bred in captivity?
We're With our animals in Australia, we're currently not to that point. We're basically breeding to keep animals in the zoo and keep our population steady. As you know, we choose not to pull animals out of the wild, so we have to make sure that the population that we have here in the zoo is self-sufficient.
Okay. And is there anything my listeners could do to help the plight of red pandas to stop their numbers depreciating even more?
Oh, definitely. One website that I would highly recommend is redpandanetwork.org. It has a lot of information. In fact, they even have opportunities for volunteer time over in Asia to help do census and help do research projects. So they always need a helping hand with that. Also, just being very careful of what you buy. We need to be careful of the food that we buy, the furniture that we buy, making sure that those products are self-sustaining out in the wild and that we're not tearing down more habitat than we need to.
And that's something that I've really noticed in the last few weeks talking to the different keepers from the zoo, is we kind of go, oh, those poor animals in Asia, those nasty Asians are destroying their habitat. But we're actually buying the furniture that is contributing to that, aren't we?
And that's what it is. You know, we certainly want to label some people because it makes it easier not to look at ourselves, but truly they are harvesting it for us, unfortunately. There's a lot of money, obviously, in timber and some agriculture, and we are purchasing those products, so we are lending to it. So we need to be very careful, read labels, make sure you do your research on any products that you buy.
Beautiful. Well, Molly, thank you very much for your time today and telling us about the red panda.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.